You're listening to the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service for December 1993. And now, here's Santa Claus's twin brother, Fred Bobe.
Thank you, Bergster. Hey, let's take a look at what's on the index for this edition of the DX Audio Service. At number one, we have the AM Switch with Jerry Starr. Number two, the Travelogue with John Bowker. Number three, a jingle from CFUN from way, way ago. Number four is a interview I did with Jim Bridgewater from the FCC. Number five, CPC information. Number six, information about a TIS station in Tampa, Florida. Number seven, GLR radio in England. Number eight, the DX Change. Number nine on side two, starting it out, is Musings from Members. Number 10, Market Scope with Phil Wayne, the best and worst radio. Then we have Historical Moments in Radio. And then we close it out with Historical Moments in the Club. That's all for you on this edition of the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service for December 1993. Before we jump into this edition of the DX Audio Service, I would like to remind you about a couple of neat things for the holiday season. First of all is a gift subscription to the DX Audio Service. If you give a gift subscription to the DX Audio Service to someone who's not a member, not only do they get a great magazine for a gift, but you get 1 month extended onto your membership of the DX Audio Service absolutely free. Contact the Publication Center for details on that. And we have After Dark number four, which is out. After Dark number four, I think this is a great issue. We've got not only some air checks from the Lima metropolitan area, kind of out here in the sticks, but we have some great radio from time to time. But we also have an interview with Wolfman Jack. He tells us all about his career and his contributions to radio. And we have an interview segment with several gentlemen who are in the broadcasting business and who are blind. And they'll tell us all about their day-to-day operations at the station, as well as we'll show you a little bit about technology that aids the blind in broadcasting. But right now, here's that guy with the big S on his shirt. No, it's not Superman. It's Jerry Starr.
Hi, everybody. Jerry Starr with another edition of AM Switch, right out of the pages of the National Radio Club's DX News Magazine. And since it's that time of year when the magazine is back to its weekly publication schedule, that means we have not two, not three, not four, but five, that's right, count them, five separate editions of AM Switch on this month's audio service. So let's charge right into reference number 320 and start with call letter changes. 550 KUSA, St. Louis, Missouri, reverting back to their old call of KSD. 600 KKLQ San Diego, California becomes KOGO. 680 KVCM East Helena, Montana becomes KHKR. On 770 WZEL Young Harris, Georgia changing to WZCM. 1050 WSEN Baldwinsville, New York becomes WFBL, the call that was on 1390 in Syracuse for years and years. On 1340 KWWW in Wenatchee, Washington becomes KWWX. 1360 KNRB Fort Worth, Texas becomes KAHZ. On 1450 WFRG Rome, New York changing to WODZ. 1470 WKMF Flint, Michigan becomes WFNT. Two changes on 1490 WGPL Cordell, Georgia becomes WUWU. And KMOW Austin, Texas changing to KFON. Finally, on 1570, CFEZ, Tabor, Alberta, changing back to their former call of CKTA. One application in this edition on 820 WSCR, Chicago, Illinois. They applied for full-time once before, then pulled that application back. They have re-engineered it and turned it in again. So now WSCR on 820 is asking to add 1,200 watts at night, change their antenna to U2. Under grants on 540 CJSB, Ottawa, Ontario, this station has been granted the right to turn their AM station off the air and move to FM 106.9. In otherness, on 690 WPDQ, Jacksonville, Florida, this station went silent the 3rd of October. An article in the local newspaper, the Times Union, indicates this facility may be purchased by WOKV, the 600 station, and they may be moving their call and their programming to 690. Spokesman for WOKV claims their programming will be simulcast on both frequencies until we get people comfortable with us moving to 690, and then we plan to take another program direction on the 600 spot. That's a quote. 900 KZPA, Fort Yukon, Alaska. This new station is now on the air with a diversified format. 1220 KRGO, Fowler, California. This silent station is now back on the air, but presently running daytime only. 1330 KDRQ, Wyshek, North Dakota is silent again. 1340 KNHN, Kansas City, Kansas, now has their synchronous operation up and running. That includes operations with a 200-watt transmitter in Amaret, Missouri, and another station, KPHN, also on 1340 in Pittsburgh, Kansas. All three of these stations now synchronized on 1340 and, of course, carrying the same programming coming from KNHN in Kansas City. Moving on to reference number 321, just a couple call interchanges on 1330 KHYT, South Tucson, Arizona becomes KMRR, and on 1400 KIXT, San Luis Obispo, California changing to KIID. One grant of interest on 850 KORC in Waldport, Oregon has received a grant to change frequencies to 820 kilohertz. They'll have 1,000 watts in the daytime, 15 watts at night. The antenna will be U1. Scanning down through otherness on 920 WMEL, Melbourne, Florida. This station has been silent since back in 1990. It is now back on the air. On 1200 WNSS, North Syracuse, New York is silent. That's just to keep your record straight, because before the tape is over here, you'll find out they came back with a new call. On 1270 WSPR, Springfield, Massachusetts, this silent station is finally back on the air. They're running Spanish programming at the moment and seem to be identifying as being in Holyoke rather than Springfield. Although we have seen no application made for a formal change of city of license on that one. And on 1490 WJOC, Chattanooga, Tennessee, another silent station that is now back on the air. On to edition number 322, plenty of call letter changes on 600 KHTE, Indio, California becomes KNRO. 740 KSSS, Colorado Springs, Colorado changing to KTWK. On 1080 WWSN, Louisville, Kentucky, wants to change back to their old call, WDJX. As a matter of fact, we believe that's already happened. Couple changes on 1370 KEEN, San Jose, California becomes KKSJ, and KFGI, Rollingwood, Texas becoming KJCE. On 1380 KKFH, Beaumont, Texas changes to KZXT. 1400 KUNA, Indio, California becomes KBZT. Are all the stations in Indio changing calls in the same day, we wonder? On 1440 WRHX, Herndon, Virginia becomes WASE. On 1510 WAHT, Anvil, Cleona, Pennsylvania becomes WWSM. That station, by the way, is silent at the moment. Having a new call may mean that they're getting ready to put it back on the air. And finally, on 1560, WWGM, Nashville, Tennessee becomes WMRO. Some notes in otherness on 640 WISZ, Zeeland, Michigan. This silent station rumored to be ready to return to the air with children's programming. So if you live in that area, be watching 640. 900 WCOR, Lebanon, Tennessee. This silent station is now back on the air. 1370 KKSJ, San Jose, California. Station is silent, just changed calls, as we mentioned, from KEEN. They're rebuilding their transmitter site and will be using the same tower as KSJX, the 1510 station, and should be back on the air by February of 1994. On 1450 KEZJ, Twin Falls, Idaho, this silent station has been donated to the College of Southern Idaho and is expected to return to the air soon as an educational station. And finally, on 1470 KZBK, Brookfield, Missouri, this silent station has returned to the air. Moving on to reference number 323, just one call letter change and one we hinted at a few seconds ago on 1200 WNSS, North Syracuse, New York becomes WKRL. Moving on to otherness on 720 WGNZ, Tuckahoe, Virginia. Construction permit for a new station that appears in your NRC log has been deleted, so you can scratch that out of the log. On 760 KRZN, Thornton, Colorado, their construction permit for 50,000 watts day and 1,000 watts night is now on the air. The station has been purchased under the duopoly regulations by KOA, the 850 station in Denver. You can expect a format and a call change here soon. 870, an application for a new station in Christiana, Delaware. Application for this station has also been dismissed, so you can scratch that out of the log. On 1160 WVNJ, the long-awaited new station in Oakland, New Jersey, has been testing on the air with unmodulated carrier and ID announcements. No word yet on when their regular programming will begin. Their four-tower transmitter site in Teaneck, New Jersey, has been constructed and is working. 1200, as we mentioned, the new call, WKRL, North Syracuse, New York. This silent station, only silent for a few weeks. It came back on the air and relays the FM station on 94.9 in Frankfort, New York now. 1230 WNEB, Worcester, Massachusetts. This silent station has new ownership and is expected to return to the air soon. 1390 WDCW, the old WFBL in Syracuse, New York that was silent, is now back on the air. 1400 WNUE, Fort Walton Beach, Florida is silent. 1480 WISL, Shamokin, Pennsylvania. This silent station is back on the air. And on 1490 WVIX in Vicksburg, Mississippi, another silent station back on the air. 1530 KXTD, Wagoner, Oklahoma. This station had been silent, but they installed a brand new transmitter, and yep, you guessed it, 2 days after the new transmitter was installed, it was zapped and fried by lightning. Fried is the word the people at the station have used, and now they expect to be silent for at least another 90 days. 1570 KMZY, Pryor, Oklahoma is silent. And on 1590 WMIM, Mount Carmel, Pennsylvania, their studios were destroyed by fire. The station is silent, and no plans announced yet as to when it may, if ever, return to the air. Finally, we close out with edition number 324, just two call letter changes on 560 WBEB, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Didn't keep that new call very long. They have now changed to WPHY. And on 1440 WBKI in Bremen, Georgia, has become WGMI. Looking ahead into otherness on 580 CHLC in Baie-Comeau, Quebec, has been deleted. They have now moved to 97.1 FM, and that AM station is gone. On 900, speaking of things being gone, at WURD in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Dave Schmidt, a columnist for the DX News magazine, recently visited their transmitter site and was quite surprised to see that their three-tower antenna system is now a single tower. The FCC database continues to show them as a directional station, U3, but obviously with only one tower, they are U1 right now. We can't find any record of any changes being applied for here. Perhaps it is a temporary situation. But if someone on the audio service living in Philadelphia can pick up the phone and call the engineering department at WURD, perhaps we can find out exactly why their three-tower system has shrunk to a single tower and it has never been released in the FCC data that we can find. On 950 WDIG, Steubenville, Ohio, this silent station is back on the air. 1150 WLOC, Mumfordville, Kentucky is also back on the air. 1220 KDDR, Oaks, North Dakota, now simulcasting KOVC, the 1490 Valley City, North Dakota station. On 1230, CKMP Midland, Ontario has their FM up and running at 104.1. That means that the AM station will soon be taken off the air permanently. We expect that to happen before the end of the year. On 1240, CBEZ in Britt, Ontario, one of those low-power relay transmitters in the north country of Canada, that has been deleted and is now on FM 107.9. On 1260 KVSF, Santa Fe, New Mexico, this silent station has returned to the air. 1370 CFVD, Degelis, Quebec, this facility has been deleted. You can scratch it off. They have now moved to FM 95.5. 1400 KIVR, Cave Junction, Oregon, this station has been silent since 1989. Now the license has been canceled and the call letters deleted. 1410 KTME, Lompoc, California, is silent. 1450 WPAM, Pottsville, Pennsylvania. This silent station has returned to the air. We believe it has been on the air for quite some time now. 1480 CIFJ, Fort St. James, British Columbia. Another AM station has been deleted. Scratch it out of your log. They've moved to 92.7 FM. 1490 WGMF, Watkins Glen, New York has gone silent. 1560 KLNG, Council Bluffs, Iowa. This silent station, silent for just a short period of time, is back on the air. Also on 1560, a month or so ago, we told you about an application on 1560 for a new station in Altoona, Wisconsin. It didn't last long. That application for a new station has already been dismissed. 1570 CFOR, Orillia, Ontario, now has their FM operational at 105.9. That means the AM facility will go silent for good, expected to happen by the end of November. And finally on 1600 KBBB, Borger, Texas, this station has been off the air since 1988. Its license has been canceled, and the call letters have been deleted. And that will wrap up a rather busy AM switch for this month. Jerry Starr wishing you happy holidays and the best of 1994, which is the next time we'll talk to you right here in the audio service. Right now, let's switch down to John Bowker in his summer estate in Florida, where I imagine he's got the holly hung up over the door even as we speak. John, take it away.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to part two of the 1110 Travelogue, a collection of station breaks recorded since 1968 in today's sample. We're pretty much going to let the 1110 tape run with an occasional comment, of course, here and there, so we can get all the remaining 1110 IDs in. Let's see, last month we left off where? In Tampa, Florida, just up the road from me here. So, what do you say we start in Alabama and work our way northward and outward from there on the December 1993 Travelogue? Now, I got to tell you, this first station, we were only 20 miles from it and it was operating 10,000 watts. But those 10,000 watts weren't coming south toward us, I'm pretty sure.
With 10,000 watts of power, we're AM 1110, WBCA, Bay Minette.
Now, can you understand? You hear all the ignition noise. We were in the motorhome, of course, but at 20 miles, you'd expect to get a little bit better signal than that. We were right up at full AGC, I'm certain, or zero AGC, as the case may be. Up in the center part of Alabama, though, Dale Hamm, he had some luck with the station there at 1110 on the dial.
Keep it on AM 1110 Country WBIB for a better variety of your favorite country music. AM 1110 Country is WBIB Centerville, Brent.
Okay, so then we got in the motorhome. We went up north to Ardmore, Tennessee.
Classic Country, B 1110, WSLV Ardmore. A service of B&E Broadcasting.
That's a little distorted. I think we took a second cut on that station a little bit later on with fresh batteries and all that.
Hi, folks. Ray Smith, WSLV's all-day gospel scene, inviting you to tune in to WSLV starting on Monday, August the 24th, for the All-Southern Gospel Music Sound.
Okay, you got enough
right
of that one? I didn't say we were closer to Ardmore. I said we had fresher batteries. Going up I-75 out of that whole region, we come to Richmond, Kentucky. Here's what Richmond, Kentucky sounds like.
I'll cherish thee.
Light, bright, and golden. 1110 AM, WCBR, Richmond.
Good afternoon. Welcome to high school baseball action. This afternoon's game between Madison Central and Scott County is brought to you by Bybee Pottery.
Now, way back when, the town of Xenia, Ohio, was known to our people of my age, at least back there, for only one thing, and that was a tornado that just about wiped out the town. Shortly before that, I had been out on some family visit to the Midwest with a tape recorder running, and this is what we got in Xenia, Ohio.
That's lovely Connie Eden with a lovely song called Leave Me, number 15 this week. This is WELX 1110 Radio from Xenia, Ohio, the time 1:30.
WELX in Xenia, Ohio. Now, that changed a little bit over the years to a dual city of identity. And
WMMX, Xenia Fairborn.
And then WMMX went to identifying just as Fairborn, ignoring Xenia completely. And then in 1993, we were up that way, and here's what we got.
It's time now for the Voice of Pentecost broadcast, now in its 43rd year of continuous radio broadcast service with Reverend and Mrs. Bruce Brooks.
WMMX Fairborn, Southwest Ohio's Southern Gospel Source.
I stand corrected. That was our 1990 trip. Our 1993 trip, this is just 6 months ago, I ought to know, was this.
Good news, 1110 WGNZ. On the way at 11:30, we have the broadcast of the Words of Praise. Before that, at 11:15, Chaplain Ray's International Prison Ministry. Right now, it's 11:01. Stay tuned next for Bible Deliverance.
You're listening to Good News 1110, WGNZ, Fairborn.
I can't even walk without you holding.
Okay. Up near Battle Creek, Michigan, we come to the town of Mason, Michigan.
Partly cloudy skies in store with a 50% chance of thunderstorms and a high near 90 degrees. Right now, we are reporting 82 degrees from and mostly cloudy skies from the South Central Michigan Broadcast Center. You're listening to WUNN Mason, WUFN FM Albion. The time now is 1 o'clock.
Welcome to the Minrith Meyer Clinic. Today we're going to talk about grandparenting, and isn't it a lot of fun?
Up in northern Michigan, but not the Upper Peninsula.
At the music station, WJML FM AM Petoskey.
I bet it's cold up there right now in Petoskey, Michigan. Maybe some of you fellas that live up that way and gals can tell us something about that. Let's come down into Indiana at this point. Paul Mount will be a little surprised to hear this next one, I think. But I got your tape, Paul. Thanks.
This is radio station WFBM in Noblesville.
That's where Paul Mount grew up, you see, in Noblesville, Indiana. And he sent me a tape with the stations at 1120 and 1130 on the dial. This station's migrated right up the dial, up into a puff of smoke, I'm afraid, at this point. Oh, well, we'll get to that another month. Let's move into the big city of Chicago.
This is WMBI and WMBI-FM in Chicago, and your chance to dial the pastor.
That's the same ID we used 6 years ago. And 6 years ago, by the way, when we were going up the dial, I had WEEO in Waynesboro, Pennsylvania, at 1100 on the dial, and I did it again this time. And it's not. It's at 1130. We'll correct that in another couple of 3 months or so. Thanks to Ernie Holt for that one and Jerry Starr, too. Let's go down into Mississippi now. Holly Springs.
Brad Dye, fighting for us. Let's fight for him on Election Day. We remember our friends.
Paid for by the Brad Dye campaign.
You're listening to Gospel Sunday on WKRA AM 1110, WKRA FM 92.7, Holly Springs.
All righty.
It's time now for Brother Levi Smith's testimonial radio broadcast, brought to you live on WKRA. And now, here's Brother Smith.
And we go into Texas, Alvin, Texas.
Bible prophecy revealed in today's headlines and the impact of today applied to God's plans for tomorrow. Weekend review with Hal Lindsey, Saturdays at 3 on Christian Praise Radio for Greater Houston, KTEK, Alvin.
This is Family News in Focus. The latest trend in education is teaching about religion.
North into Oklahoma.
Of Pasadena, California, and Focus on the Family at 1130. Coming up next, right here on KEOR, Evangelistic Oklahoma Radio, 1110 on your AM dial, Atoka, Oklahoma. And this is John Rubin reminding you to keep looking up. And remember, the world always looks brighter from behind the smile. It's 11 o'clock.
And now we come to one of the three biggies on this frequency. This ID recorded by Ernie Wesolowski, Beauty. And another of the biggies due immediately from Pasadena.
It's 7 o'clock. I'm Lou Henry.
It's the nighttime request and dedication show on KRLA Pasadena.
Oh, boy, I guess. And if we move up the coast, we come to Roseville, California. A distinct change of pace.
Su Radio Capital, KRCX.
Spanish Radio, KRCX, Roseville, Sacramento, Stockton.
Okay, I guess you got the message there. Son John recorded this during the World Series a couple of months ago.
Craig and Fernandez, it'll be the shortstop calling, and Tony puts it away. So let's pause 10 seconds for stations to identify themselves on the CBS radio network.
University of Oregon Sports, all season long on Central Oregon Sports Leader, AM 1110, KBND, Bend.
That's in Bend, Oregon. Well, I'd let more of that game come through, but it breaks my heart every time I hear it. Let's go up to the northwest now in the corner of Washington.
You're listening to KJTT, AM 1110, Oak Harbor.
real nice up there.
News. This is Frank Setapani. This is the last weekend 2,400 soldiers based in Kentucky and Texas will be able to spend at home for a while.
This is K-H-E-I Kihei.
Okay. Now, you may wonder why I let that last one come through. It's because that's all we have of K-H-E-I in Hawaii. If anybody's going out that way, for pity's sakes, take a recorder, will you? We'll get it all done. I'd like to wrap up this segment with an ID that I cannot identify. Can anybody tell me what this station is? Say, we got so much good stuff going on this tape this month, I'm going to forego the usual practice of giving thanks to everybody who submitted tapes, not only this year, but over the years for the Travelogue. It is a most important part of our program, and I don't mean to demean it at all. But I was talking with Fred, and we thought, gee, look, there's so much going on. Let's keep this part short. We'll see you next month. Please find a way to enjoy the upcoming holidays. Linda and I wish you the very best.
She was afraid to come out of the locker. She was as nervous as she could be. She was afraid to come out of the locker. She was afraid that somebody would see.
2, 3, 4, tell the people what she wore.
It was an itsy bitsy teeny weeny transistor radio, and that was all that she had on, you see. Listening to the greatest station, finest music in the nation, that's the station that you're listening to.
Radio C Fun in Vancouver.
Well, in the past couple of DX Audio services, we've heard people mention about things such as, I heard a station that doesn't give a correct legal ID. Maybe we've heard stations that have not changed their pattern or dropped the power at sunset. Numerous times throughout the last couple of years of the DX Audio service, we've logged several different complaints from members. And the question has always been asked about whether the FCC really cares about this or not. Well, recently I had the advantage to pin somebody down with that exact question. At the SBE meeting in Toledo, Ohio, I had a chance to talk with Jim Bridgewater, who is the inspector for the Detroit office of the Federal Communications Commission, and I posed the question to him, if you know of a station which is doing something illegal and you'd like to report it, what do you do?
First of all, make sure the data is correct. Okay, they've got to do that, because I've had it reported before that maybe a station is over-modulated or what have you. Then they found out something was wrong with the equipment they take their measurement with. So you make sure they document it. If I do an inspection, and if that happens, like for example, I measured over-modulation, and then after the inspection, well, a week goes by and they say, well, I won't see the inspector for 2 or 3 years at the very earliest. Send a calibrated measurement of that measurement and do it 2 days in a row, and I'll send the notice of apparent liability. As long as they can prove that that measurement was accurate, we can do that. Because we can only do so much. You know, how are you going to prove overpower to a certain extent? You know, if they're doing it on a Saturday or Sunday, you know, chances of us doing an inspection on a Saturday or Sunday is quite remote. But if they can document that, we most certainly will attempt to be out in the area. And I'd be very curious to which station they were talking about.
And as far as stations that have, say, band limit problems, where they're splattering outside their normal bandwidth, or perhaps creating a second frequency somewhere on the dial, do you use a spectrum analyzer or what?
Don't use a car radio. Mm-hmm. A lot of people say, well, my car radio shows this and that, and I'm sorry, if you look in the rules, car radios are not protected. And they're notorious for having problems like that. But if they can document it, and I tell you what, when I say document it, when they sign their John Henry that this was a professional engineer of some sort from such and such engineering services, and I've got 2 days in a row, that's what I want. Because all I do is say repeated. Willful, you know, let me get the repeated one, because repeated, you're just going to get hammered on that in with the FCC law.
But many people are very scared to report such problems because they're afraid of either retaliation by the station or some legal concern or something. Is there any way to report such violations without making yourself known, say, anonymously?
Yes. Programming, I tell you what, if you are talking about programming, if you send it to our office, that's really not the one to send it to. You need to send it to the Mass Media Bureau in Washington, okay? Because when you get into programming content and stuff like that, you're getting into legal, a tremendous legal area. And just face it, stations can challenge certain things through their own set of attorneys, what have you. Commission is prohibited for censorship. That does not mean they cannot enforce regulations concerning indecency and profanity, basically along that line. So programming, I recommend you go to the Mass Media Bureau. Technical violations, you can also include that to the Mass Media Bureau, but you could go directly to our office. And if you want to put a CC and you got all the violations on one letter, you can put down the FCC Detroit, our address. And as far as remaining anonymous, if you write the letter like you know what you're talking about, we'll go with that, okay? But we don't want any general, everyone's guilty but us type of approach, okay? In other words, as Sergeant Friday used to say, just the facts, ma'am, you know? So if you can stick to that, then that's what we'll approach it from. And obviously, if it's anonymous, you didn't sign your name, okay? We don't know where you're from. And we're not that hard up to locate someone that we're going to question everybody in the city, you know, wherever they're writing from. But if you decide to write your name, what you do on the letter, and you can circle this, put it in boldface type or what have you, I wish to remain confidential, okay? Just face it, if it's an employee talking about a station that's doing it, I can understand that. And if a station decides to file a Freedom of Information Act request, the commission will honor that confidentiality statement as far as they possibly can, which means they're not getting the name right off the bat or any identifying particulars that could identify this station, okay? Now, a lot of people says you have the right to face the accuser in a criminal case. Can't protect it 100%, but you can protect it enough that the person should feel relatively at ease, okay? Because let's face it, if it's somebody who, if it was an internal problem and they just knew that certain factors were going on at the station, that this is illegal, but that's where they get a paycheck from and everything else, but it gets this gnawing feeling that, wait a minute, you can't select and choose laws that you will obey and laws that you don't obey, because if you do that, that means everybody living around the U.S. should be able to pick and choose the laws they like, okay? So if they write it, but if they want to sign it, they can put down, I wish to remain confidential. And if they don't sign it, that's fine too, but make sure that it's written, you know, with the facts. We work on those. It doesn't take me long to read one of those letters and I say, this guy knows what he's talking about, or this lady or whomever wrote it.
And what about reports which are given to the Federal Communications Commission verbally?
It depends upon the violation, okay? If it gets into a programming content problem, they said that station's doing something that can be interpreted many ways, we're not working on it. That has to be handled by the Mass Media Bureau.
This is technical.
Okay, but if it's a
I think I know what he's talking about.
If it's a technical question and they say, and especially if he says, if they wrote that letter and they said, look at the modulation, if it's a modulation problem, we can issue a forfeiture for overmod. And normally what we'll do is we'll give you advisory the first time through. But if that doesn't work, we'll move it up to a higher level. And if it involves something like that, if they were to attach, like for two different days, the measurements they measured with that, we could use that to assess the forfeiture, which will also, probably what's going to happen, we're going to do the inspection anyway. It's dependent upon our money problem as far as travel and the time, okay? It depends upon where it's located. Because I'll be honest, for me to go from Detroit to our farthest point, which puts me in, if you look at Kentucky, southeastern Kentucky, it looks like an arrowhead in one part of the state, that's a long drive, and it has to be a major problem probably for us to go down there real quick. Normally what happens, we keep it on file, and then we'll eventually get down into the area. And unfortunately, the bad point with that is a lot of times if there's a change in ownership or a licensee, what have you, the problem may take care of itself.
But for the majority of them, like if you're up in Farmington Hills there, you're doing off-the-air listening, so if they're outside the normal listen range, you might not even be aware of it unless you're in the area for some other reason.
You'd have to report it, because when we go into an area, we don't normally sit there and tune around the band. We just don't have the time. It had to be reported to us.
I'd like to thank Inspector James Bridgewater from the Federal Communications Commission's Detroit office for speaking with us on this subject. I guess a lot of us have always wondered that question, you know, how do you go about reporting a violation that you know about, and also whether or not you can write an anonymous letter. Jim did bring up a very good point after the meeting, and we didn't get it on tape, and that is the criteria for which you're making your observation. You know, if your Sony ICF 2010 or your Super Radio 3 happens to receive some interference or perhaps a little splatter from a local radio station, and it's bothersome to you, don't necessarily take that as the criteria for writing a report to the FCC. Be sure to check out your facts before you do pen a letter, and check it out on several different radios, and when in doubt, verify. And that would be by either contacting maybe a local amateur radio operator that has some test gear that can actually read the signal off the air, or perhaps even check around with some measurement services. But be sure that your information is accurate before you contact the FCC. But now at least we know that the FCC is very concerned about what is happening with broadcast band radio.
It's now time for the CPC report with Jeff Tynan.
This is Jeff Tynan with the NRC CPC report. First station we have scheduled to test is WGEA 1150 from Geneva, Alabama, Post Office Box 339. 36340 is a zip. WGEA will conduct the DX test on Sunday morning, December 5. Between 2:30 and 3 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. The test will be run at 1,000 watts. It consists of voice IDs, code IDs, and German party and drinking songs. Sends reception reports to Doc Parker, care of WGEA. Next test, WDFB 1170, Post Office Box 106, Danville, Kentucky, 40422. They will test on Sunday morning, December 5, between 12 a.m. and 12:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Test will consist of voice IDs, code IDs, and that's it. Send reception reports to Mildred Drake. WJSM 1110, Route 2, Box 87, Martinsburg, Pennsylvania, 16662, will conduct a DX test on Saturday morning, December 11, between 12 and 1 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. The test will be run at 1,000 watts and consist of voice IDs, code IDs, and country gospel music. Send reception reports to WJSM Radio. The next test is WYNI 930, 201 Office Park, Monroeville, Alabama. WYNI will conduct a test on Tuesday morning, February 1st, between 2 and 2:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. The test will be at a power of 5,000 watts, include marches and code IDs. Send reception reports to Harold Harris. Last test we have scheduled this time is WADV on 940 kilohertz, Post Office Box 940, Lebanon, Pennsylvania. They'll test on Saturday morning, January 29, between 2:30 and 3 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. The test will be at 1,000 watts for 10 minutes, 5 watts for 10 minutes, and then 1,000 watts for the last 10 minutes. The test will include bluegrass music, southern gospel, and code IDs. We're also working on arranging a test of WADV's experimental station KA2XAU on 1620. Details will follow probably next month. Send reception reports to Mr. Craig Baker. And now back to Fred.
Thank you very much, Jeff. And if you'd like to be a part of the CPC program, just be sure to drop Jeff Tynan either one of two things. Either they need postage for letters that they send out, 29-cent stamps, or we need suggestions as to stations that you would like to hear test on the CPC program. Send that information to Jeff Tynan, T-Y-N-A-N, at 10359 Severance, S-E-V-E-R-A-N-C-E Drive, in Parker, Colorado, 80134. Well, we don't have a Sports Networks column on this edition of the DX Audio Service, but we do have is our Air Check Trader Circle. And what we have, I guess I'm the only contributor on this particular column, so let me jump right in with the two tapes that I have for trade or for purchase. Tape number 731 starts out with Soupy Sales doing a guest shot on WWWM, affectionately known as 3WM, in Toledo, Ohio, back on 10-11 of 1989. On side two of this C90 cassette is Dave Fuller from WMHE. I don't know where I got Robert from. 10-17 of 1989, WMHE in Toledo, now WVKS. The third item is an interesting air check, which I found on an old 1 7/8 inch per second reel. It's Fred Vobey on WTUU Radio in Toledo, Ohio on 1027 of 75. It's a format switch from country to all news. Then Tom Miller from WCKS on June 22nd of 1989. Then we have the interesting pattern change done by WIOD Radio, where listeners call up and actually, so to speak, throw the switch. And that was recorded in October of 1989. And then the final item on that tape is some KEYN from October of 1989. That's tape number 731. On tape number 733, we have the following. Some Jan Wolf from KNX-FM, recorded on February 23rd of 1989. Then Jay Thomas doing AM Drive on KPWR in May of 1989. Then we have some XETRA-FM, which is 91X, which was recorded on August 14th of 1988. Then on side two, some KRTH-FM with Tim Kelly doing AM Drive on August 15th of 1989. Then KODJ-FM with Jane Wall, KRLA with Wolfman Jack, WSAI, Shadow Stevens, recorded back on December 23rd of 1989. And then wrapping it up is WDJO Robert Grievant from 1223 of 1989. And that is what we have on our Air Check Trader Circle. Oh, that's tape number 733. Now, if you'd like to get one of those tapes, here's how you do it. Either if you don't have something to trade, I'll take $3 in cash for the cost of the tape plus the postage to send the tape to you, and we'll record them off and send them to you. Or if you would like to trade a cassette for cassette, that is, if you want both these tapes, I need two cassettes from you. I'm looking for air checks of adult contemporary full-service stations like WTVN in Columbus or some of the more prominent stations around the United States. And you can contact me here at the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service. You know the address and you know the name. And if you'd like to get on the Air Check Trader Circle, just send me a list of what you have on each tape, a tape number or something to identify it, and of course your trading terms, name and address. And we'll put it on the Air Check Trader Circle here on the DX Audio Service. Kind of a interesting article in DX News Magazine, Volume 61, Number 8, concerns a TIS station. I don't really know what to make about this. It says Mike Hardister reports that he's heard a TIS station in the Tampa, Florida area on 1620 kilohertz, reportedly running 4 watts into a quarter-wave dipole, and has been heard as far away as Massachusetts. Now, it says that DXers may call area code 813-933-6009 to record a message. Now, I don't know if that's to record a message which goes out on the TIS or if that is to record a message for QSL. So we'll let some of you enterprising souls try to figure that one out. Andy Rigway of England reports that GLR, that's Greater London Radio, on a frequency of 1458 kilohertz with 50,000 watts, is running a tape loop with a test tone and an advisory to have their listeners tune to stereo 94.9 FM. The test tone might be easier for you to DX or to ID, so try giving a listen there on 1458 and see if you can hear GLR. We're recording this thing a little bit out of sync here, so we have DX Changel here on side two that I say we don't, but we do. John Hans from 36 Orchard Drive, Old Bridge, New Jersey, 08857, area code 908-257-2881, would like to sell his Drake R8 in very good condition with original box and operating manual for $760, shipping included. And Hugh Montgomery at 2797 Kennett Road in Bethel, Ohio, 45106, area code 513-876-3115, before 10 p.m. Eastern, is offering his Kiwa Loop in excellent condition for $260 prepaid. And that's all the time we have on side one. Let's flip it over to side two.